relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to America First One-on-One. You know me, guys. I've been listening to radio since I was a little kid in West London with a little transistor radio in the wee hours of the night under my pillow listening to talk radio. Back then it was LBC, the London Broadcasting Company. Today I'm on the other side of the mic, but I still love the long form. You know, yes, we have to do the breaking news. Yes, we have to comment on what's going on in the swamp. But at the end of the day, it's going beyond the soundbites, beyond the talking points, with real, real experts. And it's a special pleasure when somebody who's a regular, who's been on the show many times for just a couple of segments, agrees to sit down with us for a proper chat so we can get to know him and really do a deep dive on the issues that matter. And today, it's none other than Stephen Moore. He is the man who advised candidate Trump and then President Trump. He wrote the book Trumponomics. He's got a brand new book that's out. We'll mention it momentarily. But first things first, Stephen Moore, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Hi, Sebastian. So great to be with you. Can't wait to talk about. There's so much to talk about with what's going on with this economy. The wheels are coming off. And every day that goes by, we miss Trump more.
Isn't that the truth? It's not just we miss the president. We miss the economy that he created. Right. Not that he created. Let's be clear. He just got out of the way and he got government out of the way. And that is the argument of your new book. We'll talk about it in a second. But for those who may have heard you regularly on my show or when they tune in to Newsmax or Fox, but they don't know the Stephen Moore story, will you tell us how you got to be advising presidential candidates and then presidents? So give us the potted story of the Moore journey.
Well, I'm going to tell you about meeting Trump for the first time, if I may, Sebastian, yes. Because I've got a confession to make. Before I met Trump, I didn't like him very much.
Were you a Cruise guy way back when?
Sorry?
Were you a Cruise guy originally?
No. I was actually a Rand Paul guy. I'm pretty libertarian, and I was helping Rand, and I still love Rand Paul. He's one of my favorite senators. And I remember Larry Kudlow and I got a call from Donald Trump's office saying the then candidate Trump, this was in late 2015, would like to meet with Larry Kudlow and myself and go to Trump Tower up on Fifth Avenue. Now, I know you've been there many, many, many times. And so we met. I was curious about Trump. I was curious about how he had so many followers in such a short time. And, there was something going on with Trumpism. So I did want to meet him, but I didn't have a positive opinion of him until I went to his office. And the first thing I noticed about Trump was that the people who worked for him, the people around him, loved him. And that tells you a lot about somebody, how they treat the people that are around him. And they just thought he was the greatest thing on earth. And then I'll never forget Larry Kudlow and I went into his office. You were in that office many times, I know, Sebastian. And we spent, well over an hour talking to Donald Trump about everything. And he loves to argue.
He's so curious. I mean, the same he's with, curious, I, right. I've told the story several times of my first meeting. This was June of the same year, 2015, in his office in Trump Tower. And it was not what I expected. I wasn't a Trump supporter then. But the thing is, he wanted advice on national security. And I sat down and I thought, this is going to be perfunctory. He's a busy man. Right. It's a little bit of, 5 minutes of chat. We sat down for about 40 minutes and we went from the Civil War to the Middle East and Al Qaeda. And it just, he was so interested in all of these issues. It sounds like you had the same experience when it came to economics.
Very similar. The other thing I thought was really interesting is, I've met with a lot of candidates over time, Senate candidates, House candidates, governor candidates, presidential candidates. Usually you're just surrounded by all these government, aides.
The flunkies.
But he walked was nobody else in the room. I thought it was actually kind of amazing, actually. It was just me, Larry Kudlow, and Donald Trump. And he showed us all. It could have been nicer. He showed us all his footballs, you know, the all that paraphernalia he has in there. We had a great time. And I remember Sebastian, and this is all covered in that in my book, Trumponomics. I remember walking out of that room, and Larry and I just looked at each other like, he's the one. He's the one we've been
really? You knew right then?
We were blown away by it. And then one other quick story that I think tells you a lot about Trump. So then he said, we were in, they put us in a little conference room while we were waiting for someone else to meet with. And Trump himself came in and said, hey, do you guys need anything? You need some coffee and a Coke? I mean, it was very sweet of him to do that. And then he said, I want you to go down and meet Corey Lewandowski. You know Corey. He's running the campaign, and the campaign headquarters is down on the 52nd floor. And so we went down there, and it was so amazing. I mean, there were only about 14 people working there, you know, and I thought, oh, my God, this is smaller than a city council campaign office, you know. And it's amazing. He didn't spend that much money. I mean, he didn't surround himself with – and this is, by the way, this is my theory – Why did the political class in the Republican Party hate Trump? And the answer is because he didn't hire him.
Yeah.
It's
very hard to explain the level of hatred and vituperation, not from the left, but from the establishment, you know, the Bill Crystals of the world, the NROs. Because
he went around them.
He didn't kiss the ring. He wasn't interested.
And
you know, as well as anybody else, if you're inside the administration, the quickest way, I mean, apart from betraying him, but the quickest way to get in trouble was as an advisor or even a general. If he asked you, okay, so why are we doing it like this? If you said, well, Mr. President, because we've been doing it like that for 20 years, then he said, what? That's not a bloody reason. So I think that's the establishment expected. Well, every candidate has to go to the National Review offices and has to, you know, genuflect in front of the establishment. And he didn't care for them. Why? Because he'd had 50 years of being a success. So I think that's why both sides of the aisle had such an issue with him. Do you agree, Stephen?
Let me add one other thing. So those political consultants, they're all now on CNN trashing Trump every time they get a chance,
right,
you know,
right,
because they were left behind. There's nothing worse in Washington than being rendered irrelevant.
Yes.
And that's what he did, those folks. But, you know, I love the fact that he was so, you know, Larry and I would say, for example, you know, Donald, we think we called him Donald back then. He wasn't president. We said, you know, we think we should cut this tax rate to 20%. And he'd say, well, wait a minute, why don't we cut it to 15%? Okay, sure,
that's,
why not?
That's
fabulous. He just was gutsy, and he went with his instincts. And I love the fact that he was a businessman. He didn't talk the political gobbledygook. And I think that's what the American voters loved about him.
Yeah, common sense cut through it all. We're talking to Stephen Moore. He's the author of Trumponomics. He's got a new book out this week. You can follow him at Stephen Moore. He is a senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks, also writing for the Wall Street Journal and the Club for Growth. Stephen, before we move on to the policies...
Well, let me just make one other point,
yeah,
because I think it's important.
Yeah.
You know, you look back at what Trump did, and you know, Washington is a big octopus. And you know this. What really annoyed me was how many never-Trumpers got into the Trump White House.
Yeah.
And I think that was his mistake. And it wasn't him. I mean, he can't be in charge of hiring, you know, all, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. But did you experience that? Because I did.
Oh, a lot of people. I came in. So there's, you know, all the various ranks. I didn't know anything about it until I came in. But there's assistant to the president. That's like, you know, a Mike Flynn level, an H.R. McMaster. That's a national security advisor is an AP. Right beneath that are the DAPs, the deputy assistants to the president. And they outrank 3-star generals. I was a DAP. I had no idea how significant that was. But then when you find out, Stephen, that there are people who are political appointees, because nobody was press ganged. We weren't, you know, knocked over the head and then made deputy assistants to the president against our will. And you find people at the same rank as yourself who detest the president. And you go, hang on a second. I mean, just how putrid is the swamp that you are so cynical? You just want that tick on the resume to say, I served a president, but you hate the man elected by 64 million Americans. I mean, that's how stinking the swamp is, Stephen.
Totally agree. And the other thing I would add to that is, you know, when I look back at what Trump did in 4 years, It is amazing that he was able to accomplish what he did, given that everyone, almost everyone in the government was against what he was trying to do. The deep state, Sebastian, is real. Yeah. It's not a figment of our imagination. The government bureaucracy, the hundreds of thousands of people who work for government, none of them were in favor of what Trump wanted it to do. He wanted to downsize government. He wanted to make it efficient. He wanted to fix the civil service system so people would be rewarded based on, you know, what they produce, like in the private sector, not how long they've been on the job.
And could be fired.
Right, if they failed. What a concept. What a concept. And so I can't tell you how many times I was working on issues, you know, for him. And I would discover that everyone in the bureaucracy was totally against it, and they undermined him. And you know, and yet he was still able to turn around the economy. He was still able to get his tax cut done. The people he put in place in the regulatory agencies were fantastic. The vast majority of them were on board of the agenda of getting rid of regulation. Remember when he said, "I'm going to get rid of two regulations for every new yes. regulation"? He actually got rid of 10 regulations for every new regulation.
No, by the end of the first year, the 2-to-1 ratio was 21-to-1. It was stunning. We're talking to Stephen Moore. He's the author of Trumponomics. He's got a new book. We're going to mention it momentarily. This is America First One-on-One. Stay with us for more One-on-One with Stephen after these messages. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory-compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan. And I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations. Class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
If you haven't done so already, dear friends, please, we have announced our new dates for our Stand With Israel tour. It's the trip of a lifetime. Even if you've been to the Holy Land, you've never been with me and Dinesh D'Souza. We're going to go to all the sites you've read about in the New Testament. Walk the earth where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Even Mark Morgan. You heard him 2 days ago. He was on the show and he said, "I'm going to come with you guys. I'm going to bring my wife." Don't delay. Reserve your seats today. Call 855-565-5519. We're going to all the key sites, the Holy Tomb of the Sepulchre, the Wailing Wall, the Temple Mount, the Sea of Galilee. You've got to join us. It's 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com. That's StandWithIsraelTour.com. You know what's so fun about these long interviews? You get to really demonstrate who your guests are. And I have to say, it is... Plug your ears right now, Stephen Moore. You know, I asked him to talk about himself when we opened this show, and he refused to. Instead, he talked about his experience meeting President Trump, because one of the great failures of this man is he doesn't have an ego. He's one of the few people in D.C. who doesn't run around burnishing his ego and telling people how important he is. So God bless you, Stephen Moore. But I need to share with our millions of listeners and viewers how you got to Trump Tower, how you got to advising everybody. And you know, tell us a little bit about your activities, because I remember this dinner you invited me to a couple of months ago, which is fabulous, with key individuals who were there, the masterminds of the great Reagan tax cut. And it was the anniversary, and you very graciously invited me to that dinner downtown. So talk to us about your journey in the swamp and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I was, you know, it's funny how, you know, the fickle finger of fate. And I was at the University of Illinois studying economics, and I met an economist by the name of Julian Simon. I don't know if you remember Julian Simon, Sebastian, but he was a genius. He was a giant. And he was the one who took on all of the Malthusians, the people who said we're running out of oil and gas and coal and food and farmland. And Julian really changed my whole life. You know, he was so brilliant. And, you know, the brilliant academics are the ones who actually take on the conventional wisdom and prove it to be wrong. And so I got to know Julian.
And they're not disowned by the people who didn't have the stones to do it. I mean, the establishment hates those people who say, no, there might be a better way. Sorry, Stephen.
And by the way, Julian Simon was proven to be completely right. He was the one that said, we're not running out of oil. Does anybody today? I mean, back 30 years ago, everybody thought we were running out of oil. Yes. Everybody thought we were running out of farmland and food and all these things. And Julian's famous book, and I recommend it to people. It's the book that changed my life. It's called The Ultimate Resource. And the ultimate resource, as you know, is the human mind. That's how we create. It's ingenuity, human ingenuity. And so I met Julian. He came out to Washington. I came with him. And then, you know, I had a second great. I've been really lucky with my mentors. And then I met two other economists who had a huge impact on my life. One was Arthur Laffer, who kind of took me under his wing. And you know, most of what I was learning in the economics courses was wrong. And Laffer was another guy, by the way, who took on the conventional wisdom. Remember, people laughed at Laffer and the Laffer curve and, oh, this doesn't make any sense. But the one guy who got it was Ronald Reagan, and he adopted that and changed the world. And then I was also fortunate enough, I'm not trying to be a name dropper here, but I'm just so lucky. The people I've really gotten to know was Milton Friedman, who was one of the three greatest economists in the history of the world, behind maybe Adam Smith and John Maynard Keynes. And, you know, Milton used to tell me, you know, the most important thing we can do to grow the economy is cut government, cut government. And now we have a bunch of economists who think the opposite. They think you grow the economy by growing government. And that, you know, that's just an absurdity. So that's kind of how I got, you know, I always say I'm not famous, but I knew a lot of famous people.
Well, you know, that is quite the storied list of some of the biggest names.
By the
ever.
Way, I'll also recommend, I recommended Julian Simon's, you know, Ultimate Resource, which is as relevant today as it was, you know, 40 years ago when he wrote it. And another book that I want to recommend to your readers is Capitalism and Freedom by Milton Friedman, which was written in the 1950s. Yeah. And it is still so relevant to all the issues that we deal with today. Why don't they teach that stuff in school anymore?
No. Well, this is my question, then my next question to you. And we love guests who give our listeners and viewers homework. So I've already got it written down here right now, The Ultimate Resource by Julian Lincoln Simon. Stephen, why are we fighting this fight again? Because you mentioned the big names. Not only was big government Keynesianism demonstrably ineffective and, in fact, injurious to the welfare of the populations that suffered under it. Thanks to Reagan, thanks to the Milton Friedman, the Hayeks, the Reagans of this world, the Thatchers, under whom I grew up, we ostensibly vanquished this argument, well, at least the socialist argument, on November the 9th, 1989, when the Berlin Wall was felled by those that it kept prisoners. So do you have any argument as to why, you know, 30, 40 years later, we're back to square one and we're arguing about principles that should have had a stake driven through the heart when the communist systems collapsed?
It's so demoralizing. I think that's one of the most demoralizing things that I've seen, is that, you know, we've won the arguments. We saw the collapse of the Soviet Union. We had, and you know, Milton Friedman used to say this all the time towards the end of his life, because he saw the collapse of the Berlin Wall. But then he said, you know, and he used to say this to me, he'd say, this is so weird that the most enduring lesson of the 20th century was a very simple lesson. Free enterprise and free markets work. Socialism, communism, Maoism, Stalinism, whatever you want to call it, is a failure. And then he'd say, so if that was the lesson of the 20th century, why do we have so many politicians who say we need more socialism? And that was before Joe Biden. So, yeah, I mean, another example, Joe Biden's talking about reintroducing price controls. Price controls. I mean, almost everybody should have learned the economy from the 1970s. The price controls were a total catastrophe. We deregulated the industries. We got rid of price controls. In every industry, we got rid of the price controls. Guess what happened to prices? They fell because competition is what cuts prices and costs. And so I don't even know what to say. I am so frustrated that these bad ideas come back like a bad penny, and we got to keep fighting fights that I thought we won 30 years ago.
All right. Well, let's talk about the good ideas. We're talking to Stephen Moore. He is the author of Trumponomics. You can follow him at Stephen Moore on Twitter. If you enjoy our long form interviews, if you like one-on-one, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Look for us on Spotify. It's free. Tell your friends, write a review, spread it far and wide, and you'll never miss anything that we do here if you subscribe today. Just go to your favorite podcast platform like Spotify. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First, and subscribe today. Write us a review if you have the time. And don't forget, we are on all the relevant social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. YouTube has, of course, terminated us because they're a bunch of fascists. But find us everywhere else, Getter, Parler, and so forth. That's Sebastian Gorka, America First, and, of course, the podcast. So, you have a new book out. I have to tell you, you need to talk to somebody on your team, Stephen Moore, because you don't have the image on your Twitter feed yet. It should be on the header. You've got the old book, but I have made a note of it. It is Govzilla. He's holding it up right now. It has just been launched. Govzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring America. Get it today. Forward by none other than Senator Rand Paul. That's Govzilla. Order it today. Back with Stephen Moore after this break. We've all been there. You get out of the shower, out of the bath, reach for the towel, and it's like sanding yourself down with a piece of cardboard. Why? Mike Lindell worked it out. They were importing towels from abroad, adding softness, and when you get home, it's just a con. Do what we've done. Order the incredible new MyPillow towels made with American cotton right here in the United States. Soft and absorbent as long as you own them. The six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, regularly $109.99. You gonna get them for $39.99. If you use my name, go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio list of specials for deep, deep discounts with promo code G-O-R-K-A. You've never tried a towel like it. 1-800-829-8468. 1-800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
So, look, I'm not going to teach, you know, my grandmother to suck eggs. I'm not going to tell one of the best economists in America how economics works. But as a layman, as a taxpayer, as an American citizen, as a legal immigrant to the United States, is it an oversimplification to say, you know, that Adam Smith was right? There is a thing called the invisible hand, and economics and economies, you know, the environment of an economy, function the best when it is the participants of the economy who actually drive it and government gets out of the way. Is that too much of an oversimplification, Stephen?
No, it's a pretty good one. I mean, you know, we want a very – that's actually what the book is about. I went back to the founding of our country and you know, the whole idea behind – America was freedom and free enterprise and a very limited government. You know, the Constitution, we talk a lot about the Constitution, you do too. It really, what it is a rule book on what government can do and what it can't do. And there's something that a lot of people have forgotten about. I call them the forgotten Ninth and Tenth Amendments. A lot of people don't even know what the Ninth and Tenth Amendments are. I bet most Congress doesn't know the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. But that was basically, those amendments basically say this, that all rights that are not specifically
enumerated,
assigned to the federal government, reside with the states and the people.
The fancy word from that, especially from Catholic theology, is subsidiarity. Solve the problem closest to those it affects the most. Yes. Don't take it to a city, you know, 3,000 miles away called D.C. Sorry, carry on.
No, it's a good point. And by the way, it's very relevant to what's happening right now as we speak, where the Supreme Court is debating this federal mandate, the vaccine mandate. It's clearly unconstitutional, Sebastian. It's clearly unconstitutional. And I listen to the liberal judges, And they were saying, well, this is a good policy. And it's like, it doesn't even matter if it's a good policy. It's not whether they should do it. It's whether they have the right to do it.
Yeah. Can I just stop here for a second? Because somebody mentioned this on another radio show. It was actually a caller to the Chris Plante show. And she was a genius. And Chris, to full credit to him, just stopped and said, no, was it Chris? No, it was Dan Bongino said that that is the most important call we've had since we started the show. And this lady said, why is Sotomayor arguing with regards to it being a good policy or not? Your job is as to whether it's legal.
Exactly. Right? And plus, she doesn't know anything about COVID. I mean, she's not a health expert. She thought she was. Half of the things that she said about COVID were wrong. And so this gets to the broader point, which is that the idea of the courts is to make sure that the government is following the Constitution, and they've deviated away from that. And that's why, you know, if you look at the early years, even, you know, the first 100 years of our country, we had a very lean and efficient government that provided, you know, for the national defense, and it provided roads and bridges, and, you know, it provided the court system. But there, you know, for example, the word of education, you can read the entire Constitution and you're not going to see education in there, because the founders never even envisioned that why would the federal government be involved in education? Or energy.
So with a little bit of oversimplification, the core of what you advise President Trump or future presidents is, if you get out of the way, if government gets out of the way, then the economy can flourish, correct?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously you do need a rule book, you need rules, you need, regulations that make sense. You don't need thousands and thousands of regulations, but that's right. I mean, the free enterprise system is the goose that lays the golden eggs. And it's the reason the United States has become the richest country in the world. It's the reason, I would say, you know, freedom is what is the least racist policy. You know, this is one of my pet peeves in the book. The United States is not the most racist country in the world. It's the least racist country in the world. No country in the world has allowed minorities to advance as much as they do in the United States. And, you know, did you see what happened in New York, where they're now introducing discriminatory health policies against people with light skins? So I think, you know, you have a little darker skin than I do, so you're going to get in line for the treatments before I do, because you have a little darker. I mean, is that absurd? Is that the stupidest thing
you've
ever heard?
Well, it's not just absurd, it's bigoted, and also I would say it's unconstitutional.
Of course it is. Of course it's unconstitutional. It's all like totally contrary to the Martin Luther King's, you know, we're going to be soon, celebrating his birthday. It was, you judge a man by the content of their character, not the character, you know, the color of their skin. And now we have all these discriminatory policies of white, red, brown, you know, whatever your skin. I mean, why do we have to have all that stuff? The bottom line, though, is if we stay on this course right now and we allow Biden to win, which I don't think we're going to, we're fighting like hell against it, we're going to have a government that is going to be larger than our entire private sector. It'll be over 50% of our GDP. That will make America a socialist country, and we will pay a very heavy price for that. So we cannot allow it to happen. We have to stop this massive spending binge. Now, just before I came on your show, I saw Nancy Pelosi saying, we need another $1 trillion for COVID. They've already spent $5 trillion. Where did that money go?
And they haven't really spent it. That's the issue. They want more, and they haven't really spent the first trillions and trillions of dollars. Exactly. The book is Govzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Destroying America.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
If you like what you're listening to, support those who make it possible, especially great, great Americans, truth tellers like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. President Trump loves them. My whole team uses them. 51 million sold. They're that good. Get a good night's sleep from the only pillow that stays its shape, doesn't get hot. and is guaranteed for 10 years. 800-829-8468. Get up to 66% off if you use my name because you're a friend of this show. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. So we don't clear our questions with our guests. We don't have talking points. We just have a conversation. So here I'm going to ask a question that might get my guest in trouble, but I doubt it. I think you're right, Stephen. I think, look, we're a year in, barely a year in, and the economy is a disaster. In D.C., this is the second week in a row we can't get milk in the studio because I tell Eric, would you bring some milk in so we can have coffee for our guests? No, because I go to the local CVS and there's no milk. I mean, this is the capital of the most powerful nation in the world. So this is, it took Carter at least 3 years to do this. Biden did it in 10 months. So we're going to win. If there is a capacity to stop election fraud, the Democrats will be utterly shellacked in the midterms. If we have the House and the Senate, then President Trump will run. That is absolutely guaranteed. And he will win if we can prevent election fraud. But here's my challenge to you, because you know better than anyone. The establishment GOP is not representative of the American people. It is a hodgepodge, heterogeneous collection of interests, many of them being dominated by, of course, the Chamber of Commerce. And the Chamber of Commerce doesn't want to have immigration reform. The Chamber of Commerce doesn't want to have E-Verify. The Chamber of Commerce is very happy to have big businesses be able to lobby so that they get preferential treatment in this stinking city, like Amazon did, as opposed to all the small businesses that had to shut down. So here's my question to you. You've written the books. You've written Trumponomics. You've advised President Trump. You'll be advising him, if God willing, he comes back. But is it all for naught if we don't have a Republican Party that is truly conservative and believes in Hayek, believes in von Mises, believes in Laffer? Stephen, can we do it?
You know, it's funny. You know, I don't think that Donald Trump even knew who Hayek was. But, you know, he instinctively got it. Right? You know, he did. And so, you know, and Trump accomplished so much, even with the bureaucracy and the Republican Party kicking and screaming the whole way. I'll give you an example of something I didn't even agree with him on was China. I said, boy, you're being really rough with China. You know, why are you picking a fight with China? Well, he was right and I was wrong. He was the first president in modern times to recognize that China is that the Chinese leadership is evil, that they are not friends, they're not allies, they're adversaries and enemies, and that they were engaged in incredibly predatory economic and trade practices. And he almost single-handedly, you know, stood up to China. And now, you know, I think everybody agrees that Trump was right. So I think Trump has, and I don't look, I think he probably will run for president. I agree with you. If the Republicans take over the House and Senate and it's a fair election, I think he could very easily win again. But he's still facing so many in the party who are against him.
Yeah.
Let
me out with your political experience. What have you seen over the decades that works? When it comes to getting a politician, a senator, a chairman, a House member to do the right thing, does it always have to be couched in terms of this will get you reelected? What is the way to win over the GOP? Or do we have to primary all the people who believe in big government, Stephen?
Well, Reagan had to do it and Trump did. You know, it was so interesting to me that Trump was, we used to ask Larry Kudlow and I all, and Laffer all the time about Reagan. He was very curious about Reagan, you know, and I just find it so interesting, even though their personalities were very different, they shared two qualities. One is they both loved America.
Yes.
They loved America. And number two, they loved people and they were optimistic. And they were optimistic about this country. You know, I listen to the Democratic message. It's so dour and dire. Oh, we're all going to die. We're going to die from climate change. We're going to die from COVID. You know, and, you know, we need somebody who lifts us up. And Trump did that. He felt us. He made us feel good about our country. Patriotism. It's almost liberals feel like patriotism is a dirty word.
So I'm going to ask it one third time. Do you have a strategy? Can we turn the Titanic ship that is the GOP and make it market friendly?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we will. You know why? Because the power is in the hands of the people. And, you know, a lot of the Republicans in Washington may not be for what you want and what I want, but the people are for it. And that's what turned me on to Trump. That hundreds and hundreds of thousands, the millions of people who had been kind of politically quiet for decades, and they finally found someone who said it like it was and who did what he said he was going to do. I was on CNN the first year of Trump's presidency, and they'd always say, why is Trump doing this? Why is he doing that? I'd say, because he said he was going to do it. That's why. He told him. He did what he said he was going to do. What a concept for a politician.
Yeah, totally, utterly shocking for the swamp that he did that. But yes, that, you know, I love that, all that line. I'm not sure it makes logical sense from the point of metaphysics. But when he said, I kept more promises than I made. He did things that no other politician has done in decades, which is he said, this is what I'm going to do, and he actually did it. And for those who always ask me, and I'm sure you get this question all the time because you travel the country and you speak as well, and you know, what's he, they always want to know, what's he really like? What's President Trump really like? And I say, sorry guys, if you've been awake for the last 50 years, what you see is what you get. The Donald Trump in front of 60,000 people in the stadium is exactly the same Donald Trump behind closed doors, if just maybe a little bit more salty. In the Oval Office, it can be just the two of you, and he's exactly the same straight shooter, because unlike everybody else in this stinking city, they don't have two faces. It's not Janus. It's not the creepy big grin and the perfect hair, and then behind the closed door, completely different. No, what you see is what you get, and I think, you know, that's really why we elected him. Stephen Moore with Freedom Works. He is also the Club for Growth. The new book is GovZilla. We'll be discussing it in a moment. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, and you are especially listening to One on One.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to One on One with Stephen Moore. You are always a cheerful guy, and I think it's one of the few economists who are actually a fun interview, because sometimes it's hard to be exciting when you talk about economics. But let me ask you, generally, you are an optimist, right, about this nation?
Oh, I mean, God, economics is not complicated. That's the other thing. It's not complicated. This is simple stuff. It's just common sense. If you tax something, you get less of it. If you tax, if you cut the taxes, you get more of it. If you get government off the back of our businesses, they'll do better. If you create too much money, too much government spending, you're going to get, guess what? Inflation. Are you surprised we have inflation?
As a great economist once said, economics is the science of predicting that water runs downhill. Stephen Moore, let's end on this. Give us a little tease. Everybody needs to get it, but tell us a little bit about why you wrote GovZilla and what people will find in it.
Because I am really concerned that our kids, I want this book in schools. It can be read in two nights. I want our children to understand what is happening to our country. That every child today born less than 5 years old, by the time they reach 30, they're going to have a $300,000 share of the national debt. Is that the legacy we want to leave to our kids? The American dream is that you leave every generation better off. When what we're doing right now is fiscal child abuse. It's outrageous, passing on these trillions and trillions of dollars of bill. It's like we're parting at their expense. And so I want people to be aware of what's happening, and we've got to turn it around. And I'm optimistic we will do that. But I guarantee you the schools aren't teaching anything that we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes. They don't teach any of this. They teach America is a terrible country. We're racist. We killed all the Indians. We're responsible for all the problems in Africa. We're colonialists. We are the greatest country in the world. We're not perfect people, but everyone wants to come here because we are a land of opportunity and we're a land of freedom. And that's not being taught in the schools. And that's what this book is about. You have to protect your freedoms. One last thing, my favorite quote from Ronald Reagan, a government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you've got.
Exactly. And the eight most frightening words in the English language is, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help. That was also Ronald Reagan. Well, God bless you for doing what you do. You're absolutely right. People don't risk everything. They don't pay coyotes thousands of dollars to be smuggled into Guatemala or North Korea. They do it to come to America and only America. He's Stephen Moore. Follow him on Twitter at Stephen Moore. Also, check his work out at freedomworks.org, the new book. Get it today. Buy a copy for your children, for your grandchildren. GovZilla, how the relentless growth of government is devouring America and our economy and our freedoms. God bless you, Stephen. Keep telling the truth. This is America First, one-on-one. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
How are we going to do it? How are we going to jam all this news into 3 hours? We're going to do our darndest. Welcome, dear friends. Greetings. This is America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former deputy assistant to President Trump. And still, because Biden's really a coward. Am I doing a Biden right now? Stop it! Still member of the National Security Education Board of the Pentagon. Bring it, I dare you. This is the Salem Radio Network. We have the lowest lowest? We have the highest inflation since 1982. I think I can do new math. What's that? 40 years? Is it 40 years? I do think it's 40 years! 40 years, 7% inflation. Thank you, Biden. I wanted to put a challenge out there. To anyone, please, seriously, not the little sad cases in their basement who listen to us and then type stuff up like, what's his name, little Zaki Poo. But you know, normal, just normal Democrats. If you voted for Biden, I want to hear from you and what you think of, I don't know, 7% inflation or $4 a gallon gas. Just give me a call. We'll be nice. Maybe. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Tell us, are you happy with your vote? If you voted for the sleepy old senile git, I want to hear from you. They've subpoenaed one of my buddies, my actual office mate. He was in the office next to me in the White House. A regular guest here, a good guy, Andy Sarabian. They are so... He wasn't even there on January the 6th. That's how desperate they are. Have you seen what McDonald's has done? When it comes to vaccines, you will be shocked. We are on strike. We refuse to purchase anything from Ronald until they rescind this vaccine mandate that has turned a five-year-old out onto the street. We'll give you those details. And relatively sane people are saying Hillary has to run in 2024. We'll give you all the details. Please, please do it. Please, please do it. But first, there was a gentleman a long time ago. Do you remember Leo Leibowitz? Big guy, writes for the Tablet. He was on the show a couple of years ago, long time ago. And I was at an amazing event yesterday, the DC launch of Freedom Square. We're going to tell you who came up. All the conservatives, rock stars were there. We're going to share the photographs from the event. But there was Jan Jakelek of Epic Times. She said, did you read that article by Lyle? And I hadn't. And he said, it's one of the most important articles of the last year. And I want to share it with you because something's happening. People who voted Biden, people who have been Democrats all their lives, like Lyle Leibowitz, have become conservatives. Yes, he's become a conservative. Let me share with you the arguments from his article. We're going to post it right now. It's called The Turn. It's from the tablet, The Turn, by Lyle Leibowitz. And I'm just going to give you the most relevant parts. And tell me if you're hearing this, if you're seeing this, or if you are a person who has undergone The Turn. So here we go. It's really good. You might be living through The Turn if you ever found yourself feeling like free speech should stay free, even if it offends some group or individual. But now you can't admit it at dinner with friends because you're afraid of being thought a bigot. You are living through The Turn if you have questions about public health policies, including the effects of lockdowns and school closures on the poor and most vulnerable in our society. But you can't ask those questions out loud because you know you'll be labeled an anti-vaxxer. You are living through The Turn if you think that burning down towns and looting stores isn't the best way to promote social justice, but feel you can't say so because you know you'll be called a white supremacist. I, as a lifelong Democrat, have an important thing to tell you. If the left is going to make it right-wing to simply be decent, then it's okay to be right-wing. As a leftist, as a Democrat, you don't get to be against the rich if the richest people in the country fund your party in order to preserve their government-sponsored monopolies. You are not a supporter of free speech if you oppose free speech for people who disagree with you. You are not for the people if you pit most of them against each other based upon the color of their skin or force them to be out of their jobs because of personal choices related to their bodies. You are not serious about economic inequality when you happily order from Amazon.com without caring for the devastating impact your purchases have on the small businesses that increasingly are either subjugated by Jeff Bezos' behemoth or crushed by it altogether. You are not for science if you refuse to consider hypotheses that don't conform to your political convictions and then try to ban critical thought and inquiry from the internet. If you are undergoing the turn, if you are shifting from a life of being on the left and being a Democrat and voting Democrat, but you're changing your mind, it's worth understanding that your story has a happy ending. The freedom you feel on the other side is so real, it's physical. It's like emerging from a long stretch underwater and taking that first deep breath in the cool afternoon air. None of it makes the lost friends or the lost career opportunities any less painful. But there's no more potent source of renewable energy than liberty. And your capacity to reinvent yourself, your group, your life is greater than you realize. So, welcome to the right side, dear friend. and join us in laughing at all the idiotic name-calling that is applied, with increasing hysteria, to try and stop more and more normal Americans from joining our ranks. Fascists! Conspiracy theorists! Anti-science racist TERFs! Whatever. We have a better word to describe ourselves, and that word is free. Wow! I don't know. I think it's happening. I'm super excited. If you're one of those people who is undergoing the turn, who is in the midst of it, who has decided, yes, I have buyer's remorse, which means I'm a conservative now. Give us a call. Likewise, if you voted for Biden, maybe you're not undergoing the turn. I want to hear from you, too. I want to hear about what you think about the highest inflation in 40 years, about the fact you can't buy milk. Give us a call. I'm so curious. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. If you haven't done so already, check out our brand new locals community. It is our new website with direct access to me and content you will not find anywhere else on the web, and stuff that's a little bit different behind the scenes, like our video on my favorite James Bond movies. Next, it's going to be my favorite handgun and maybe a little selection. Somebody said they want to see my cigar collection. I think we can do that, John. What do you think? Let's do that. Gorka.locals.com. That's GORKA.locals.com. And don't forget, the third hour of the show is always one-on-one. Today, we're going to have an amazing interview with the man who wrote the book Trumponomics, former advisor to President Trump, Stephen Moore. So subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a moment. Wherever you get your podcasts, look for America First and Sebastian Gorka.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.